jump right in. Today's talk title, The Name of God. The name of God is the most important name that there can be. And it's the name that we each have been given for ourselves. As creations of the Creator, as the children of God, as the extension of God, we have the name of our Creator. And so today we'll talk about what that name is and what it means for the Creator and what it means for the created ones, meaning you. I'll take you to a place in scriptures and the scriptures of the Hebrew people where Moses is walking up a mountain. The mountain is identified as his people as being the living place of God. You go up that mountain to meet with the Creator. For us, it's not a physical mountain that we have to go up to. We have to go up to the highest place available to us in consciousness. The highest place available to us in consciousness is our meeting place with the Almighty One. That is where we come to understand and have deepened within us an understanding that who we are and who God is inseparable. That although it may appear that we can be separated from the love of God in earthly experience in the field of polarity, it can never actually happen. We are the stuff of God. God is the stuff of us. When we are not at the highest place in our available consciousness, we can't remember that. There's no way we can. If we are not at that meeting place in consciousness with the created, the Creator, then we are basically operating in our lower chakra system. That system is based on survival, and many of its instincts are animalistic. I've said, you know, him joking around, some people think I walk on water. Well, hopefully, if you've heard me preach, you know that that is not so. You know that I'm in the trenches right along with everybody else, struggling to get to the top of the mountain, to my own highest place in consciousness, where I can meet and re-meet the Creator. The Creator is the mothership. I sometimes think of the Creator as being the plug where I have to plug my phone in to recharge it, or the little thing that holds my land phone. It's like when the battery starts to go, I look at that little phone, it's beeping, saying I need some help. Oh, you need God. You need me to plug you back into the mothership where you can be replenished, where you can get charged up again. Because if you're roaming around in any other levels of your consciousness experience that is less than your meeting place with the Creator, you cannot help but think of yourself as the victim, because your battery power will run out. It'll get low. And then you'll be like a reed shaking in the wind, where how you feel and how you represent is based on what is occurring in your surroundings. Here we have Moses going up that mountain, the highest place in his consciousness, and he gets to a spot in the clearing, and he sees a bush that is on fire. The bush is burning, but he watches it burn for quite some time, and he notices that although it is burning, it is not consumed. That bush represents not only our Creator, but it represents the created ones. A bush that is on fire, yet is not consumed, has to be a bush that is being purified. What you've got to do with gold after you dig it from the ground, from the mines, it's got all this other ore stuck to it, like you and me. It's not pure gold. It has to be put into the fire. It has to experience the heat. It is being put into the fire and experiencing the heat that allows all the dross materials, anything but gold, to be eliminated, and therefore the gold becomes pure gold. That's what's happening to you. That's what's happening to me. That's what's happening to all of us. If you don't know, you will not be consumed. You will surely be in fear. Surely. That fire has been called many things. Some people and some paths to God, the Hindus, they call it the Kundalini fire. It's that fire that happens when all of your chakras from the root all the way up to the crown and hooking into the impersonal chakra are all open and in order at the same time. The kundalini fire has taken you over, and people under the experience of the kundalini fire are said to go into a state of bliss because they've reached the top of the mountain. They are at the highest possible place in their own available consciousness, and they have met with God. Some Native American tribes, they call this the serpent fire, that the serpent fire crawls up your spine and opens your crown, and you get to feel the peace that can only come with knowing in your heart, I am one with the Creator and all of creation. If you don't know you're one with the Creator and all of creation, you're in a setup for disappointment, you're in survival instinct mode, you're trying to get yours from somebody else. It's the normal human experience of those who have been trying to keep their battery going without ever connecting to the mothership. In my house, sometimes I've lost the mothership. My land phone is off the hook. I'm running all around. I have no idea that someone has tripped over the cord and the little charging base has fallen off where I don't see it. And if I can't find it, that thing goes dead. It goes dead because it hasn't plugged in. It hasn't gone to the height of the mountain, the height of its energy. So here Moses is, and a voice speaks from this. The Pentecostals, by the way, call that fire the Holy Ghost fire. And in the Pentecostal church, when the Holy Ghost fire falls on you, you pretty much pass out. They call it being slayed in the spirit. You go to a place of complete connection with all that is. It scares a lot of people who aren't used to it. But I was raised in it, and so it don't scare me. I've had my forehead touched by the hand of an anointed minister when I was at a place of receptivity. And when I passed out and dropped to the ground, I was instantly transported from earth to a state of heaven. And you hope some of it stays with you once the shaking and quaking has worn off. When Moses goes closer to the burning bush, a voice from out of that bush speaks to Moses. It says, I want you to be my spokesperson, Moses. Our people are captive in the land of Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to command Pharaoh to let my people go. Whenever God gives me an instruction that looks pretty big, an assignment that looks beyond my capacity, I do what Moses did. I start giving my excuses. You got the wrong guy. I'm not all that. Moses said, how can I be a spokesperson for the Almighty One when I stutter? I'm slow of speech. And the voice says, I'll speak through you. And Moses says, I can't go on my own authority. What will Pharaoh say to me if I say, let the children of God go? Free them. The voice says, tell them I am has sent you. I am that I am. I am just because I am. I am is a consciousness of understanding that I am pure conscious awareness of being. I am pure conscious awareness of being. There's no dot, dot, dot followed by anything. So I am pure conscious awareness of being all that is. Interestingly enough, about a dozen years ago, I was watching a program on PBS, and there was a speaker there, it was a scientist. He said that when newborn babies come into the world, they come in believing that they're everything. They think they are their mom. They think they are their blankie. They think they are their pacifier. They think they are their ba and their daddy and their little sisters and brothers. They think they're everything. You see, when a child is born, it goes from a state of full integration through a process of disintegration. Being born and becoming like a separate, seemingly self, an incarnated one is going from being fully integrated, disintegrating, your identity as all that is into a dot, 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 whatever you follow it with. That same guy on that same program said something that made me jump off of my bed and go running through the house as happy as I've ever been. He said that if a baby is born into a family that speaks Swahili, it appears as though the family is teaching that newborn baby, that infant, how to speak Swahili. If that infant is born into a Spanish-speaking clan, it appears as though they are teaching that child to speak Spanish. A Hebrew-speaking clan, the same way. What this guy said is none of us are teaching those infants how to speak our language. We are instructing them to forget all other languages that they were born knowing and to concentrate simply on this one. From full integration to disintegration. I was amazed that I didn't teach my children English, but I simply taught them to forget they knew French and German and Aramaic and Swahili and every other language ever spoken by any clan throughout the history, herstory of planet Earth. When a baby is born anywhere in the world, they come with an announcement to be made. One of my children was born silent, and the doctor gave it a little slap, and suddenly, wham! The other of my children came out of the chute, wham! And no matter where in the world these newborn babies are, that wham that every child gives, what that child is declaring is, I am. I am pure, conscious awareness of being. And once again, it believes, it knows what we have forgotten. I am everything. Tell Pharaoh, I am said to let my people go. I am is your word of power. It is your Christ's identity. It is your declaration as a child of God. In the book of Genesis, there are two creations of human beings. In the first creation, God speaks us into being. God says, be, and we are. And you get on a little further in Genesis and you go, wait, I thought we were already created. I thought God already created man. When you think of man, think of the manifestation of the Holy One. Man is just a shortened version for manifestation of spirit, manifestation of God. I thought we were already created. Here all of a sudden it's saying the Lord God bent down and gathered some dust and breathed into the dust. And then man became a living soul. Well, the you that God spoke into creation is the I am. I am pure, conscious awareness of being. You are the Lord God. The Lord God is the manifestation of God in form that knows it is one with the Creator. So my soul was created and spoken into reality, and then my soul knelt down and formed my body and breathed my spirit into my body. And I gave it a dot, dot, dot. No longer is the I am simply I am that I am. It was I am followed by an identification card that declares who I am. We use our I am power all the time. I catch myself saying I am dot, 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 following it up with some stuff that truly does not make me happy, that truly does not bring me peace, that truly does not keep me connected with the consciousness of my oneness with the Creator and all of the created ones. And I'm exercising that power to say, I am not all that is. I'm something very specific. I grew up completely surrounded by people of color, most of them colored people. They were called, most of them African American, most of them church people, and most of them dying in their mid-50s. And after I grew up, I wondered, wow, probably had a lot to do with those I am statements. Because when I grew up in my neighborhood, in my church system, every day, sprinkled through the day, and every evening, sprinkled through the evening, people were making I am statements like, I am sick and tired of white people. I am sick and tired of this overt, blatant racism. I am sick and tired of the fact that we can't go swimming in the city pool except on Friday before they change the water. I am sick and tired of how gas prices have gone up. It just seemed to be one of the most used phrases amongst the people who surrounded me. I am sick and tired of dot, dot, dot. Well, if you keep telling the universe I'm sick and I'm tired, it's a wonder you make it to 50. Your I am statements are creating your reality. I am is the name of God. And so it's very, very important for me to remind you this morning that you must quite often take the trek up the mountain. You must take time out of the busyness of your day. You must take time to focus your attention away from the stuff that makes you mad, that makes you sad, and that disturbs you. I have two members of my family. They are addicted to surfing the web to find more and more stuff that makes them ticked off. It's their job. One of them has no other job. Well, what do? I surf the web for more and more signs and symbols of how wrong our people are getting done, of how much sexism and racism and phobias are going on. They search the web to find more things to feel sick and tired of and about. It's a waste of the I am. The American Negro College Fund, the slogan, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. What a waste living in the world looking for signs and evidence that I am right, that I am a victim, that it is corrupt. That's why I can't move into being all I can be. Speaking of all you can be, when the voice from the bush, that Holy Ghost fire, that Kundalini fire, that serpent fire, when that voice is speaking to you and telling you to go to Pharaoh and let my people go, it's not speaking of Israelites in a place called Egypt, in a time long ago, in a place far away. It's talking about you observing your own mind. When God tells you, let my people go, God wants you to know that you have so much potential for peace that you have never let go. It's trapped. It's incarcerated. It's locked away inside you. One of our poets, I think maybe it was Emerson, but don't hold me to it, said our entire reason for being is to release the hidden splendor that lies within us untapped. You have so much glory within you, so much love, so much joy, so much courage, so much power that you have never released. It is stuck in the frustrated field of unrealized potential. And the voice says, let it go. Release it. Be all you can be. If I have an idea that I'm not being all I can be, and I'm not ready to do anything about it, I'll do what you would do, what we all tend to do. I will stop making I am statements, and I will start making you are statements. And if I don't feel good about me, my you are statements are not going to be uplifting and affirming of you either. If I don't want to say I am frustrating my potential to be all I can be, I am Pharaoh incarcerating my own potential, and I don't want to do nothing about it or even look at it, I'll look at my sister. I'll look at my son. I'll look at somebody else living in my house. I'll look at somebody else I see on the news. And instead of making an I am statement, I'll make a you are. You are not all you can be. You are not living up to your potential. You are not expressing your peace enough. You are not as loving as you can be. You are a coward who doesn't have the courage to completely let go and release the hidden splendor that is within you. And if we hear enough you are statements, they can become our I am statements. If you're under the influence of you are statements, take a deep breath all day long and release it. Because it is virtually impossible for us not to be affected by the negating you are statements of others. Most often we'll just pick the person closest to us to project on. I can apologize to my ex-wife from now until I take my last breath for the final year of our marriage and some of the you are statements I made to her, because I didn't want to look at my own I am statements and do something about them. It is those closest to us that will receive our projections from not having released the hidden splendor within me, released the children of God I am holding captive. It's an interesting dynamic. It's called the blame game. It's called projection. Both of these two members of my family who surf the web all day looking for evidence of more things that cause them to be more and more bitter. By the way, neither one of them are doing anything about the things that they're watching. They're not supporting any organization that works on behalf of equity and human rights and ending racism and homophobia. They're not sending any money to Puerto Rico when Puerto Ricans are in need. No, they're talking crap about the government that isn't doing enough, or he or she. They're not doing a doggone thing to forward heaven on planet Earth. What they're doing is living in an alibi that I can't be all I can be in a world like this. How can I be all I can be in a world with no equity, with no possibility? I told a young black man who is one of the members of my family recently, it's like, I said, do you have any idea why you haven't become anything? Like, you haven't become anything. You were one of the brightest of the bright, one of the most intelligent of the intelligent. You have health. You were born in privilege. And now you're a bitter man of 40 who does nothing but surf the web and proclaim it's the world's fault that I have become nothing. Who can become something in this world? I said, dude, how could you even ask that question? It cannot be the fact that you're a young black man. Young black men who are upset by the system, who see the inequity of the system, are writing rap songs about how that is upsetting. They are making millions. They are buying homes in the Hamptons. They're giving money to every cause they feel like it. Their children have toys that cost more than my house. You have talent. Instead of complaining all the time, write a book about it. Write a song about it. Go into the studio and sing about it. Make some money off your frustration. But don't act like nobody can make it when you're surrounded the largest growing number of people who become millionaires in the United States of America throughout the past 12 years have been young black men and women who were born without privilege and not in harsh situations, who don't sit home and surf the web and talk about it. They rap about it. They sing about it. And people show up to their experience of what they have to say, to hear their spoken word of raging against the machine, and fill auditoriums of tens of thousands, and they are getting paid. So why are you really not amounting to anything? Now that I've taken your lie away and stripped you of your alibi, why are you really? What are your I am statements? Who do you say you are? Because God says you're filled with limitless, untapped potential. That the entire kingdom, queendom, moraldom, alldom of possibility lies within you. But if you say, I am ... unworthy, undisciplined, unfairly taken advantage of, whatever you follow it with is what you get to be. No longer are you pure, conscious awareness of being. Suddenly you're pure, conscious awareness of being a victim. Poor you. Poor baby. I hope everything changes so you can feel happy. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we'd wake up tomorrow in a place of complete equity? No more isms, no more phobias. The welcome table of our Creator. Then you can be happy, but not until then. But check this out. Jesus says there will always be wars and rumors of war. There will always be the poor among you. There will always be the hungry. There will always be inequity. There will always be classism, elitism, racism, sexism, any other ism. Can you have an I am statement that says, I am amazing and awesome in a field of inequity? I have risen to the top of the mountain. My consciousness has plugged into the mothership. I am that I am. Pure, conscious awareness of being anybody I say I am. I hope that you will join me this week in noticing some of your own I am statements that come out of your mouth and some of those that speak inside your own head and inside your own heart, because that's where your power lies. If all the world changes around you, all of the symbols change, and you have an I am statement, of unhappiness, of victimization. Wherever you go, there you are. So join me on the mountain this week. Let's tend to the business. We are here to work out our own soul salvation and not the soul salvation of our mom, our dad, our siblings, our spouses, our significant others, our own. You are your project. Tend to your business. Your mind is your business. I look forward to feeling your energy for the next several weeks. Getting tingles, maybe the hair on my arm standing up, and I'll go, somebody's fulfilling this assignment with me. I feel my brother Tony plugged into the same mothership I'm plugged into. Him and me are only making I am statements from the consciousness level of the top of the mountain. And we are catching ourselves anytime we make a you are statement. And if that you are statement is uplifting, we will know we must be doing something right. If it is down-putting, we can instantly know I'm out of the garden and lost track of my own business. And this can't be good. Peace! So we breathe gently and deeply in a way that works for us right here and right now to raise our consciousness to the highest possible level available to us. That place where we know that we are one with the Creator and all of creation. We go now to the top of the mountain. And with every breath, we allow ourselves to relax, to let go, and to know that we are safe. Somos altamente bendecidos. ¿Por qué? Porque la luz de Dios nos rodea. Cálmate. Porque el amor de Dios nos envuelve. Porque el poder de Dios nos protege. Cálmate. Porque la presencia de Dios vela por nosotros. Cálmate. Porque donde quiera que estamos, Dios está por nosotros, con nosotros. Cálmate. Somos altamente bendecidos. We are richly blessed. Why? Because the light of God surrounds us. Relax. Because the love of God envolves us. Relax. Because the power of God protects us, and the presence of God
watches over us. Relax. Because wherever we are, God is right there with us. And all is well. And we are richly blessed. Calmate.